shoots and scores! 5-4, Edmonton in overtime!
Across the five, the deuce is loose, touchdown Elks! Trade forward into the end zone.
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Auston Matthews has scored twice. He's up to 68 goals on the season. Maple Leafs and Devils 4-4 a couple of minutes into the third period. Lightning lead the Senators 2-1. At the start of the third, also started the third, Penguins up 4-3 on Detroit. Big game there in the Eastern Conference. After two, the Flyers, who rarely win anymore, leading the Rangers 3-1. Halfway through the third, Panthers up 3-0 on the Blue Jackets, and the Sabres lead the Capitals 2-1. Second period, Canadiens and Islanders 1-1. Jets leading the Stars 1-0 early in the second. Ehlers with his 24th there. Later, Sharks and the Tentacles, and the Flames will take on the Kings. Yeah, I mentioned that Penguins-Red Wings game. So both those teams out of the playoffs, 1 point behind the Capitals for the final wildcard spot. And then, you know, the Islanders in the Metro Division are third with 87 points. But Penguins and Red Wings playing each other, both with 84 points and 1 point back of the Capitals. So something's going to change there tonight. Well, depending on how the Capitals do, they are losing right now 2-1 to the Sabres. So we'll keep an eye on those games. Really important. Canada won 5-1 over Sweden. Quarterfinals at the Women's World Hockey Championships in Utica. USA on the ice right now, and they are in control with a 3-0 lead on Japan with 2:50 left in the first period. Shots are 22-2 for the United States. At the Masters, so weather delayed the start, and now darkness ending the first round. So not everybody is done, including Tiger Woods, who is tied for 17th at 1-under. He has played 13 holes. So not a bad round for Woods. Bryson DeChambeau has the lead, shot a 7-under-65. Scottie Scheffler, 6-under-66. Nikolai Hogarth has three holes still to finish in his round. He's third at 5-under. Danny Willett and Max Homa are 4-under. Homa still has a few holes to play. Corey Connors is the best Canadian, tied for 9th. He shot a 2-under-70. Again, the several players with anywhere between 1 and, 8 holes still to finish tomorrow. But DeChambeau up there, and Woods doing okay, 1-under through 13. Hey, how are you doing tonight? Appreciate you tuning in. Of course, the significant news today, O.J. Simpson passing away, who, what a life, I guess you would say. Maybe not all obviously not all in a positive fashion. Certainly one of the greatest football players of all time. And then, of course, as Bob and all the shows have been talking about, the murder trial and the Bronco chase. I'll just quickly share. I remember in, what was the date here? October 3rd, 1995. This would have been the year of my life when I was working at Blockbuster Video. And I either wasn't working that day or I was working in the evening, because I can remember I had an apartment just off White Ave. And I remember watching the verdict being delivered, and I remember feeling incredibly nervous. And you got to remember, this had been on TV all summer. Like, you could just sit and watch it. It was pretty much all CNN covered all day, and you kind of watched it like a TV show. It was like reality television that was actually real. It wasn't, okay, let's put 12 single people on the moon and see who winds up getting married. I mean, that's not actually reality television. That's still made up. Made up scenario. Don't get me started on reality television. Anyway, so you're watching this all summer, and then you know that I just remember sitting and watching the verdict and feeling nervous, and there was probably going to be, you know, violence or rioting if he was guilty. And I remember sitting there waiting for it to be announced and thinking, I can't comprehend what the reaction is going to be either way. Like, sometimes something will happen, and then you kind of know what the reaction is going to be. And I remember thinking, like, I can't imagine it going either way, even though it was going to go one way or the other. So that's kind of something that stuck with me for that moment. Certainly, I would think one of the biggest news stories in my lifetime. Just the way it was covered, how everybody was following it, different opinions about it, and just how gripping it was. And we should mention, Kellen.
Yes.
O.J. Simpson played Norbert in The Naked Gun.
Yes, that's was my first exposure.
I'm not trying to make light of the other things in his life, including the fact that, well, he wasn't, I guess, acquitted of killing those two people, though. Then in the what do they call it, the civil trial, the other one,
civil suit. Yep,
the civil suit that he basically was found guilty. But anyway, not trying to make light of all that, but he was in The Naked Gun, which when I probably between the ages of about 11 to 15 for me was one of my favorite movies of all time, mm-hmm. and I watched over and over again on VHS.
Leslie Nielsen is phenomenal in that series.
So it was Norbert that he played, right?
Yes.
So Norbert's shtick was that he always would find a way to get injured?
Yes.
Right, he'd fall off something or get crushed or get hit by a forklift or something like that. So anyway, that's O.J. Simpson. I remember a Saturday Night Live did a sketch either when the trial was ending or shortly after it ended, and they had that performer named Tim Meadows. Remember, he was the ladies' man?
Mm-hmm.
So they did and O.J. Simpson, of course, was on the NFL on NBC. So they did a sketch where it's, okay, two guys in the booth, and, oh, let's welcome back. He's back on our broadcast crew, O.J. Simpson. All right. So, O.J., how's this offense going to attack today? So they had O.J., you know, Tim Meadows as O.J., doing a telestrator,
mm-hmm.
and he's drawing, okay, well, the quarterback's going to drop flat back like this, and this guy's going to run a curl with a little loop, and same with the receiver on the other side, and then the safety's going to come up here and stop, and this guy's going to go in the middle. And the play he drew out spelled the words, "I did it." Mm-hmm. on the telestrator.
I saw this earlier in the day today. It showed up on my timeline.
Oh, okay. I think one of the most clever things SNL ever did. And I still remember it almost 30 years
quick
later.
Quick trivia for Wilkie. What Hollywood movie star appeared alongside Tim Meadows in that sketch? There's a current day Hollywood movie star.
Were they a cast member? Or
they were a
cast
member at the time, yes.
Mike Myers.
No.
Who else was on at that time?
I'll give you a hint.
So this was the fall of 95?
Yes, I'll give you a hint.
So Myers still on the show?
No, he wasn't.
So Farrell wasn't there yet, I don't think.
It's not Mike Myers. This gentleman played Ron Burgundy.
It was Farrell.
It was Will Ferrell.
He was already on the show in 95. Yes. Okay, I didn't think he started till later
Will
in the
Ferrell. 90s. Will Ferrell, yeah. He plays the guy that's like, oh, and I have to go, and he walks away. And then Tim Meadows says, well, live from New York, it's Saturday night, and then
all
they
right.
start the show. So,
well, there are some wide-ranging memories of O.J. Simpson, some of them serious, some of them quite lighter. But, yes, he has passed away today. You can get in touch at 780-496-0063. That is the hotline. It is powered by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. You can email the show, insidesports@630ched.com. As we've been telling you throughout the afternoon and on a Bob show, Connor McDavid remains day-to-day. I would think unlikely to play tomorrow against Arizona. The game on 630 Ched with the face-off show at 5:30. The puck will drop at 7. Cody Ceci, maintenance today, day-to-day. Maybe Troy Stetcher draws in tomorrow. And Sam Carrick is out for tomorrow after getting a little bit banged up in the game last night. So there's a quick update from Oilerland. And they were good last night. Now, was it Vegas's quote-unquote full team? Of course it wasn't, but you still got to go out there and beat them. And I thought Edmonton was in control pretty much throughout. Skinner made the saves he needed to make. You got contributions up and down the lineup. You got Ekholm continuing to excel. The line of McLeod, Perry, and Holloway was very good, and maybe something you file away that if they're not together at the start of the playoffs, maybe they can be put together if needed as you go along. So not much to complain about after that game last night. I will talk to Connor Brown about that. Well, I already did. You'll hear the interview. Talk to Connor about that game about getting through that slump, about the support he felt from Edmontonians as well. That'll be coming up next on Inside Sports.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Yeah, busy finish here for the Oilers. 5 games in 7 days to wrap it up. They are 4 points behind Vancouver for first in the Pacific Division with 2 games in hand. The Oilers can get to 111 points. But they'll have to beat Vancouver along the way to do it. But as Rob was talking about last night on Overtime Open Line, if the Oilers run the table, they get first in the Pacific Division. They will start the playoffs at home. We just don't know when and against who and exactly what their seeding is going to be. Pretty good game last night against Vegas. Connor Brown agreed with that.
Yeah, I think everybody just took care of their job. And, you know, we're a pretty deep and dangerous team when we do that. No, we were composed to 60 minutes. It was a good team effort.
We know how far away the playoffs are. I know the fan base and guys like me talk about it all the time. Does it get talked about in here about, okay, what happens after the regular season is done, getting ready for that, or is it still just a day-to-day thing?
Well, no, we're centered and we're aware of what's coming. And, you know, obviously we're ramping up for the right time of year, and we know what's ahead of us. So, we're not naive to it, but obviously it's important to stick to the process and I just get better day in, day out.
All right. You're a perfect example of sticking to the process because 50-some games into the season, I think you had 5 points, and now you have 6 in your last 12 games, so half a point per game, which is pretty good. How, if you don't mind me asking, how did you do it? How did you stay just working through everything when you knew the production wasn't where you wanted it to be?
Well, it took some resilience. Obviously, it's not easy to struggle or to play at a when you feel like you're playing a little bit below your capabilities. I think mindset has been the biggest change for me. Just enjoying my process out there. Getting back to just. Really just enjoying it. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is having fun out there. And whether, I felt like, when you're struggling like that, you feel like you need one to go in. Now it's just, enjoy being an Edmonton Oiler. It's a fun time of year. So I think that's been the main thing and the main switch.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because the first couple goals you got went in off you.
Yeah.
And then you got, the rebound goal, and then you got, the one shot from the slot where you fired it and it went in. So you've been able to, the ones you've scored have gone in kind of different ways too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's any goal scorer in this league. You gotta find different ways to score. And, throughout my career, I've always done that. And, I can score in tight. I can, score off the rush, from the slot. So, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface, getting better and better, of my game here.
All right. So you mentioned the experience that you're enjoying being an Oiler. What's it been like, living in the city? And I know you played in other Canadian markets, so I don't want to downplay that. But just being out in the city, probably getting recognized, probably getting encouragement from fans, I would hope. What's all that been like?
No, it's been incredible. I mean, especially the type of season that I've had, coming off a big injury, struggling to find my mindset and play with the confidence I need to play with. And then now once I've kind of come out of that process and back to feeling like myself, just the fans kind of sticking with me throughout that whole process and being nothing but encouraging, the kind of support I got after I scored it's an incredible community. I'm loving the city. Some of the best fans in the world, honestly. They live and believe hockey and they're positive and they're supportive. It's a very fun place to play.
I know you're on the road almost half the time, but what have you learned about Edmonton that you didn't know before you started living here?
Well, I think more than anything, just the community. Great people. Like I said, everyone's supportive, everyone's looking after their neighbor, and so it's a good culture.
You guys got the Masters on here in the dressing room. Are you a good golfer or a fan, or what's your relationship with golf?
Yeah, both, I'd say. Yeah, I'm a pretty solid player and definitely a fan of the game. So we had a little Masters draft on Tuesday, so You know, we'll be pulling for a few of our guys.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the most famous course or best course you've ever played?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I haven't played too many of the big ones, but my favorite one is a course in Ireland called Lahinch. I played that a few times, but I need to get some of the top 100 courses knocked off my list, get some invites there.
Super windy in Ireland when you played, or what was it like?
Yeah, the one day it was 10 miles an hour wind. I think the next day it was 60, so driving the ball about 140 yards. Yeah, it's a different element over there, and that course is right off the ocean too, so it's fun to play golf like that, because that's kind of how it was meant to be played.
Yeah. That's pretty windy.
Yeah.
So when you were younger, was it all hockey? Were you into other sports, good at any other sport? I'm just wondering, because sometimes some players have had to pick maybe along the way.
Well, it was always hockey for me, was the main sport. But my dad was pretty pretty big on me not playing hockey. You know, I never played spring hockey, never played summer hockey. Once the season was over, the bag went away, and I was playing lots of golf, playing lacrosse, playing soccer, baseball. You know, I kind of had my wakeboarding, kind of had my hand at all different sports, cottage time. So I think that was essential for me to just keep maintaining the love of the game. And so but for me, hockey's always been the main one, though. Of course,
a little bit there from Connor Brown talking about golfing in Ireland. From the school that's something we've discussed on this show over the years. Do you want your kid to just play one sport 11 months of the year and not do anything else, or do you want a little more variety? So Connor Brown had a little bit more variety when he was growing up. And as he said there, this has been a tough year for him. And I remember even at the beginning of the season, there was, do you let him play the 10th game? Do you just send him down to the minors? He hadn't scored in 9 games. Well, you know, he went over 50 without scoring. And now the production is pretty good. I mean, like I was saying to him, 6 points in 12 games, half a point per game isn't bad. I think that would have been, a fairly decent season for him. But like a lot of Oilers, and I think like the team as a whole, if he puts it together in the playoffs and is a contributor and the team wins, nobody's going to – well, he'll remember, I suppose, the goalless drought, but it'll be a little more of a footnote as opposed to a headline. All right, 780-496-0063. Happy to hear from you as we roll along tonight. We will also visit with Luke Gazdick. As always, he's going to be presented by Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. Some NFL news for the last couple days. There's going to be a regular season game in Brazil on September 6th between the Packers and the Eagles. I believe that's a Friday, isn't it? So they're going to play a game on a Friday on the opening weekend of the season. Interesting. Inside Sports on Chet, back after the news and weather.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.